Praise God. Praise God. Turn to Daniel chapter 11. I did not intend when I first taught on this and first brought this up, this was a scripture that kind of, well, I say it came on me by surprise, but you know, we know there's nothing surprising, right? God sets things up. A couple weeks ago, I was just starting my notes for my message, and I kept using the word exploit, and I thought so I stopped everything and looked at the scripture, and once I did that, it tied what I was wanting to say in that message together. Well, last week, with what the Holy Spirit was showing me to share with you about compromise, it started at that area of exploits. And tonight, again, I was all week long, I've been saying, I have one message, Lord. I can continue my series from Sunday morning. Just do it Sunday night if you need me to. But I really want to do what you want me to do. And I heard an excerpt from a pastor on Instagram that really worked something inside of me. And it all day yesterday, I didn't have time to really just sit down and study. Jesse and I left the house at about 8 o'clock, and we went shopping and bought very little, and just because we couldn't find anything. We went to Ryan's basketball game. We took him out. We went and picked up Allison and went shopping, took her out. We dropped her back off. We came home, got home about 10, 10:30, tired. But all day long, I had this thing working in me. Matter of fact, when I was sitting down with Jessica and Allison, I said, let's talk to me about this. And I talked to them, and they both looked at me like, well, what do you want for dessert? And so I was like, all right, that didn't help me at all. But I have worked this thing through, kept just writing certain things down today. And I believe God has something that He wants to show us today. But in Daniel chapter 11, again, this scripture has been working through me. As I posted a little photo, not a photo, an art. I call it word art, is what I call it, on Facebook with this scripture. But it says, and such as do wickedly against covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God. Again, it's not those that know about God. That's what, you know, when Doc was talking about in presence. What's the movie where he says, you complete me? And, you know, I forget what, I don't know, is it, it's, I think it's a love story, but I mean, Austin Powers could be I guess that could be it. That could be it. You complete me. Yeah, it could be too, but it's that mentality, I think, with God is that I think He misses us. God is God, but when we're with Him, we just complete Him. We complete who, everything that He is, everything, we complete it. So just leave that alone, right? But that's really what we've been dealing with. Those that know God, not just know about Him. I mean, it's interesting how many people know about God and really know nothing about Him at all. I'm sure you notice that with people that, if you've ever talked to people that you work with or hang around about God, and they'll get talking, and you're like, I mean, literally, if rolling your eyes would hurt somebody, they'd be calling the ambulance, because you'd be like, what are you talking about? That is not, had somebody that I was praying with one time, and they said something like, well, you know what they say about God? And I was like, why did they say that? Me being full of mercy, I just was like, well, and I tried to correct it. But people who just know God, and they know of God, I should say, really don't know Him at all. They just know the figure. They know what they've heard. They know all that kind of, that's all it is. And God really wants us to know Him. He wants us to, I'm finding myself, because this is just where the Holy Spirit's had us, pull back to what Doc was sharing, with your kids. It's just about them, just that in your vicinity, just near you. When my kids come home for the weekend, they don't always sit out with us. They're in their bedrooms, and just the security and the comfort and the peace, knowing that they are there, they're with you, that they're not an hour, 2 hours away, not with you. There's just such peace in that. And that's what God's after. And that's why it says they that know him. Now again, this is not even, there is a qualifying here of they that know him, but that's it. That's where it stops. They that know their God shall. And this has struck me so strong, is that there's no other qualifier there except to know their God. It's not those that know their God and sow seed. Now, those that know their God, their money doesn't hold the value of their relationship with God. So those that know their God are going to be sowers, because that's the heart of God. For God so loved the world that he gave. It doesn't say those that know God and read the Bible. Though, if you know God and you're in that intimacy with God, you're going to be in the Word. Your day's going to start. Your day's going to end in the Word of God. You're going to meditate therein day and night. You're going to chew it like a cow chews cud. It's going to come up and regurgitate and be worked in your. It's going to be there. Though it's about no. The key here is just knowing God. It's the relationship. It's the intimacy. They that know their God shall. Again, that word shall is the most definitive, it's the most, most strongest. Does that work? It is the strongest word that you can have in Scripture. I heard one person one time say shall. Well, shall we or shall we not? That's not it. This is a contractual covenantal term that says shall. If the word shall is in Scripture, it tells you that it is absolute, it is. You know, in sign language, because I know sign language. I know some words in sign language. Part of the college I went to was a deaf institute. They kind of part of it. So we had people that were, well, I mean, they would sign for chapel services. But the one thing I always remember is when you said amen, the word amen, does anybody know what it is in sign language? I see that as when God says shall, it's that, isn't that so, like, so be it. It's just like, so I know they're like, meh, you know, but I see it as that, just like it's done. And that's how I feel about the word shall. It's like they that know their God shall. You know, just it's concrete. Those that know their God shall. So again, my point here is this, and I need to get on with what my message is for tonight. But I have this sense that I want this to get across to you, is that know your God. All right. if I made a little contraption here, okay. And it was, you know, it was an arch. And on this arch, we had like tubing that ran through that arch. And part of the tubing would cause paint would run through that tubing. Let's say red paint. All right. Would run through that tubing. And so as it got to the top, it would cause a waterfall effect. Again, I'm just telling you what it is. All right. I'm not telling you how to make it. I don't know that. But it would cause a waterfall effect where it would shoot up and then it'd come shooting straight down. And so when you stood on this side, all you would see is paint, red paint. You could look around, you could see, Neil, Doc, you know, Pastor Lisa. You look through, but you have to look around because right here, and then it would get down there and it'd just keep pushing through. You know those waterfalls that they have, but it would be a paint, okay? Now I could get to Neil different ways. I could get to Neil walking across here and tell him, you know, hey, how you doing, man? It's good to see you, and not have anything on me. But if I go through, now, if I go through that archway, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to be red. I'm going to have red all over me. So I'm going to come out the other side different. I'm going to come out of that other side automatically. By fact that I have chosen to go through that archway, I'm coming out on the other side different. I can try to get to the other side other ways. Well, this, I had no idea this illustration is going to fit so much in with what I'm sharing. We can try to qualify ourselves to get to the other side, I'm going to take speech classes. I'm going to take some extra classes online. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to really work myself and try to qualify myself to go there. And you're going to fall short of what the plan is. But if you go through the archway, now if you understand the archway is God and knowing Him, and it says, they that know their God, like they go through that, is going to come out strong and do exploits. So instead of red paint, we've got strength to do what we've been called to do, and we have exploits. So I want to be a great preacher. So I'm going to go to college. I'm going to study. I'm going to take some online classes. I'm going to watch some good preachers and try to mimic their style. And I'm going to stand in front of a mirror and practice in front of a mirror. I'm going to do, you know, remember, was it Flash Dance? No, not Flash Dance. What's the one where the town was so? Footloose, yeah. Remember the scene where the dad's standing up in front of the church practicing his sermon for Sunday? Inflections and all that kind of stuff. Because I'm going to be a good preacher. You can do it that way. But you understand that's not an exploit? There's nothing exploiting about that. But if you go through the archway of strength and exploits and you step through like someone like Benny Hinn who stuttered and he couldn't speak to people in front of people. But then he became so acquainted with the Holy Spirit and so acquainted with the Heavenly Father. His books, Good Morning Holy Spirit, are so powerful because what he did is he went through the archway of knowing Him. And when he got out to the other side, he does things that he couldn't do on his own. He's doing exploits. He became the preacher that God had called him to be because he went through the archway of knowing Him. Therefore, strength and exploits was placed upon him. Are you following me on this? When you get into that place of just knowing Him, they that know their God will be strong and do exploits. And I know some people are like, Pastor Thad, I love God. Can I say it like this? Don't throw stones, okay? It doesn't say those that love God. Now I know that you're like, well, doesn't it say in John that they love me? Yeah, love is part of knowing. But there's people, how do we know you love Him? You do His commandments. See, those that know it's about knowing Him. It's about intimacy. It's about acquainting yourself. It's about knowing the details. It's about knowing the little things. It's about wanting to spend time. It's about wanting to please Him. It's wanting to make Him happy. It's wanting to make Him full of joy. Those that know their God. See, I believe that we have scratched the surface of doing exploits. I believe we know our God. But I believe God's calling us deeper. I believe God's calling us to a deeper time. Not more stuff. I'm not saying more stuff. I like what we're doing. I love the fact that we're I don't want to say busy, because busy, you know, just because you're moving doesn't mean you're progressing. But I like the fact that we're doing stuff. So I'm not saying God's calling us to more stuff. I'm saying God's calling us to more intimacy. To that time with Him, that time of knowing Him, that time of, like we talked a couple weeks ago about Moses, where Moses just knew Him. That's all he said. I don't want, if you don't go with this further, I'm staying right here where you are. Because I don't want anything other than that. He knew Him. The Apostle Paul said, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering. I just want to know You. And that's got to become our, because when that becomes our goal, to know Him, and that becomes our effort to know Him, when once we've entered in, we will be strong and we will do exploits. Amen. Hallelujah. Whew, that was an introduction I was not ready for. Go to Exodus 4. We talked about Moses the first week in this, a couple weeks ago. Last week we dealt with the area of compromise, of not compromising. When we know God, it's kind of His way only. It's not His way or the highway. But I want to spend a little bit of time here in Exodus 4. This was the story that I just kind of heard a snippet of on Instagram, and it just got me thinking about it. And again, it was the point of knowing Him, of knowing Him and doing exploits. Again, Moses was a person. He did exploits. But there's things that as we go through this, I almost hesitate to say it this way, but it's the word that I think is on me that qualifies us to do exploits. In other words, it's a word that says we know Him. It's something that is saying that we know Him, therefore that qualifies us. Now, Moses, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, we dealt with a little bit of the area where Moses had gone to all the good schools. He grew up in the palace. He grew up as Pharaoh's daughter's son, so his Pharaoh's grandson. He went to the right schools. He had position, and he tried to utilize that to be who God called him to be, to do exploits. And all it did was get him in trouble. Remember, he tried to break up the fight and kill the man, all right, and all it did was get him in trouble. And because he knew inside what he was called to do, it just, he tried to do it on his own. In other words, instead of going through knowing Him, he tried to take the shortcut and say, "I'm going to work really hard. I'm going to take a lot of classes. I'm going to learn languages. I'm going to learn how to operate in the political system of Egypt and all that kind of stuff." And it didn't work for him. It got him in trouble. So he went it is early. It's an early age of life. 40 years old is really early. But he went on to the backside of the desert. As he got on the backside of the desert, obviously it was, much of it was to protect him, to keep him in hiding. But he took on a secondary, position in life. He became a shepherd. Now let's go in here, Exodus chapter 4. We're going to read a little bit here, and I'm going to teach. This is going to be our main verse, so if I tell you to turn somewhere else, keep your place in Exodus chapter 4, and we'll come back to it. Verse 1. It says, "And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me." Now remember, after his 40 years on the backside of the desert, God appears to him in the burning bush, tells him to remove his feet, calls him, tells him exactly the point, which 40 years ago, he had it in his heart to do that. But again, what was he doing? He was going around. He wasn't going through the knowing Him. He was going around and trying to utilize his education. All education is not bad. God will use education. Matter of fact, I think we'll point this out a little bit later, should we have time, and we will. I'll make time. John Paul didn't use his 7 hours, so he tried. He did try. But God will use your education. But again, what we're going to talk about here in a second, you'll understand what I mean, is that he tried to use it as the main source. And beloved, you can do things. You could probably accomplish some things in your life through your education. But when you go through knowing him, that's where your exploits are going to be. So for 40 years in the backside of the desert, he tended to his father-in-law's sheep. He took care of sheep and watched them. And at the end of it, God appears to him in a burning bush, calls him, appoints him. Remember, 40 years early, exactly what he was in his heart. So Moses, now he answers him and says, but behold, they're not going to believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they're going to say, the Lord hasn't appeared unto you. You're just a shepherd. You're a guy who kills a guy. You're on the run. You're on the lam, right? And that's all you are. They're not going to believe you. And the Lord said unto him, what is in thy hand? And he said, a rod. Now, stop there for a second, because for 40 years now, in this backside of the desert, he's got a new occupation. That period of time, he's not used all of his schooling. All that schooling stuff is no good anymore, right? He's not been putting that stuff to work. He's learned to be a shepherd. And so what do we know about shepherds? And I know you're going, well, we know a lot of stuff about shepherds. Well, the one main thing that I want to point out here is that a shepherd has a rod. And the rod of a shepherd, we preached on this not too long ago, so I don't have to spend a ton of time, but I do want to reiterate, you did not see a shepherd at any time without a rod, without his rod. The only time it would ever leave his hands was in case of an attack of the enemy or attack that where he would put it into action, and he might throw it. He might practice where he threw it or whatever, but he'd immediately go and retrieve it. That was his lifelong pal. That was his lifelong partner. It meant everything to him. It was his. His buddy, Shepherd Al, could not use his rod. Shepherd Al but will have his own rod. And again, it was one of those things is that, hey, can I see your rod? And he's like, hey, you don't see with your eyes, you see, your hands, you see with your eyes. Because they didn't allow it out of their hands. That's how important that object was to them. It was theirs. If you asked them to lay it down, it was an insult. It was a spit in their face. That's a shepherd. A shepherd went nowhere without his rod. Now we know this in our, when we've talked about David. Because that's one of the greatest revelations you'll have is what did David take with him? Now we've added to this list, but we've always been told from the time he just went out there with a slingshot and stones. Then what in the world was Goliath? Was Goliath already getting woozy, saying, are you coming at me with sticks? He thinks my slingshot looks like a stick? Thinks like a rod? No, because he had a stick in his hand. He had his rod in his hand. He didn't go anywhere without it. He wasn't going to go to battle. I don't care if his main weapon was a slingshot. He wasn't going to battle without that in his hand. You know why? Because he didn't do anything without that. Why would a man, why would David go? What was his dad asking him to do? Go deliver some food to your brothers, to the officers, to the king. He didn't say go there and help him out with your rod. But he went and he took the food, he took the stuff, but he's not letting go of that. And that's exactly the way Moses would have been. Moses would have been that exact same way with that. When he went before the Lord and he was standing before him on holy ground, I guarantee you, in his hands was a rod. Was his rod. He was a shepherd. That was his identity. That was who he was. He marked. Remember they'd mark on there the kills and the things that they had accomplished with it. There was a mark. That was his testimony. Remember the Apostle Paul when he said, man, I'm the Hebrew of Hebrews. And he started listing his accomplishments. And he said, but all those things I count as dung. In other words, he had his rod and he was going through the testimonies, all the things that he had accomplished. But that was that rod. And so it says here, the Lord said unto him, he said, how are the people aren't going to believe me? How are they going to believe me? Because he was doubting himself. He was doubting what God was telling him. You could almost say, I've tried it my way. I've tried it. I tried to do it. And remember the two Israelites were fighting and they said, are you going to kill one of us too? And he realized he had been caught. He said, I tried it my way. I tried to do it with the force that I've been taught. It didn't work. They're not going to believe me. And the Lord said, what do you have in your hand? And he said, I have my trusty old rod. Now again, that's not the shepherd's staff. I saw someone teaching on it and they had this big old huge stick. That's not a rod. That's a shepherd's staff. That's the rod and thy staff. It's different than the rod. The rod was smaller. The rod was a weapon. The rod was carved out of a full tree. I mean, not an oak or anything. It was a smaller one. It was one that was young, and they'd pull it out so it had that bulb at the end of it where they could throw it and it would come, you know, it was heavier on that side. But the staff was much bigger. But the rod was a weapon. Verse 3. I know some of y'all going, what's taking you so long, Pastor Thad? Are you getting to your point? Yeah, we've been all over it all night. Hallelujah. I just realized time. Okay. And he said, here's what God told him to do with his rod. Cast it to the ground. Throw it to the ground. Now again, to many of you, it's kind of like, all right, no problem. That's not the case with a shepherd. A shepherd didn't willy-nilly toss his stuff aside. God didn't tell him what he was going to do. He said, cast down your rod. Throw it to the ground. I want to stop there for a second. In other words, he said, I want you to take, because for 40 years he's been on the backside of the desert with that weapon in his hand. That was his weapon of choice. That was the weapon that protected his sheep. That was the weapon that he had that had become his. And God said, you've trusted in that enough. I want you to lay it down. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm going to use some words here that this morning we heard are not for us. But I want to say this, is that though trust is not faith, there is trust in faith. In the same way that you can't, and John Paul used this illustration, in the same way that you can't get to high school before middle school, and you can't get to college before high school, you can't step into full-fledged faith until you learn to trust. So trust is not a four-letter word. Trust is not a bad thing. And I want to say that. I say that with all due respect. But again, I feel it's interesting that this word started coming up as I was studying, because I was like, I'm going to have to deal with that one. Again, I'm not knocking him. I'm just simply, he's right in the fact that trust is not faith. But if you don't learn to trust God, you will never walk in faith. And if you never walk in faith, you will never receive his promises. Just to understand that. So what God was saying with that statement is cast down your rod. Cast down where your trust has been in. Trust down what your plan has been. You've been trying to come around. I can see the image. I'm sure this wasn't this. You've been trying to come around this way for years to try to accomplish things. Because of the heart that you've had. But I want you to come through the ark, the arch that I have prepared, the arch of knowing me. He said, I want you to take your dependency. I want you to take your trust off of that weapon. And I want you to trust me. I want you to rely on me. And I'm going to show you some things. And see, beloved, I started meditating on that. I started thinking about the fact that that's what God asks us to do. This is a qualifier. This is a qualifier for us to do exploits. If we're going to come through the archway of knowing Him, we're going to have to learn to lay aside the things that we look at as our strengths. Lay aside the things that we consider to be ultra important to us. Lay aside those things and walk through that archway. You know, it's funny because I just got this picture of going through an airport security. You want to get on an airplane? You got to go through that archway. And you can't go through that archway with your keys. You can, but it's going to go beep, beep, beep. You're going to have to walk back through to unload the keys. You can't go through that archway with a pocket full of change. It's going to beep, beep, beep. You're going to have to walk back through and load the change. You can't go through that archway with a helmet on with, what else was there? Was there thing? Jewelry. Can't go with your jewelry on. There's some of those you're going to have to unload. You're going to have to come back through and unload. And that's what God's saying. Is that a lot of times we try to go through with the things that we put our trust in, that we put our reliance in, that we think qualifies us. We've got some talents. We've got some talents in this church. I mean, we're amazingly talented group of people, and I love that fact. But as talented as we are, if we try to go through and try to attain the presence of God, the power of God, the exploits that God has for us to do through our talents alone, we're just going to be beating the air. So it's beating the air. Well, as long as it's beating the air and we're working really hard, getting nothing done. We've got to unload some stuff. Go through that archway of knowing Him. When we get to the other side, it's interesting. Some of those things will be added back to you, and we'll get to that in a moment here. Some of those things will be placed back on you. Years ago, and some of you, I think Sister Beulah has mentioned this before to me. Years ago, and it was when Steve and I went to the detention center, and so I did it really as part of my ministry there because it was an outreach to them. And when I made our weekly bulletins, I don't know a lot of people that make bulletins weekly like I made bulletins weekly. I mean, it was a small magazine is what it was. It was more of a newsletter. And I'd put time in there. That was a major point of my time every week. And I did it. And our mailing list at one point, to the prison, I mean, we put a lot of money in just the mailing list. We were up to about 30 or 40 people. There were other people that the Holy Spirit would have me, which I think one of them was Beulah, that the Holy Spirit said, I want you to, keep sending stuff to them. But so our mailing list for just that was crazy big. It was probably one of the biggest things I did. Well, then we quit going in there. I felt like it was time to stop, and we stopped going in there. And our mailing list, we'd get stuff returned, so we'd know they'd been released or whatever. And our mailing list got down to just a few people, and I just kept. And so every Sunday, I keep making these big things, and the Holy Spirit said, "I need you to stop." He said, that's becoming everything that you're thing stuffs in. And he said, it's a good idea. It was the right idea. He said, I need you to stop because that's where all your effort's going. Again, is it going to be the last magazine this church will ever put out? No. I believe we got bigger and better. I'm just not going to have to design it all. We'll have a staff that they'll send their stuff to me and I'll say, I don't like it. Change it. Hallelujah. There's some things, beloved, if you're going to go through the knowing Him, you're going to have to lay down. And you're going to have to say, hey, you know what, knowing Him. See, so for me, I'm a shy guy. I really am. And I am not demonstrative, except when I get happy. Yesterday we were at Ryan's game and I was shouting, and I have become a target of much joy to their bench, because I have started when Ryan hits a three, because early in the season he was struggling a little bit because he's getting frustrated with some stuff, and he's been on a tear lately. I mean, goodness gracious. So when he does that, I'll raise my hands and I'll shake him around like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I found out a couple of days ago that the bench is, or one of the guys on the bench says, man, I love watching your dad. When you make a three, he gets so excited and he's like, he does. So yesterday I told Jessica, I said, I got to put on a show now. I know they're watching me. And they were, man. I was like this, and I was sweeping it across, and I was like, and they're just enjoying themselves. So I get demonstrative of what I care about, but when God called me, I was boring. Oh man, I was boring. I was boring. I'm glad God helped me out, because I was like monotone. And some of you are going, you used to be boring too? I mean, but I had to go beyond myself. When I lead worship, it's not just easy for me to shout and to do silly things and all up on the stage. That's not easy for me, but it's one of those things. I had to lay down my dignity. I was raised by Apostle Callahan, and I've never met a guy that seems more dignified than Apostle Callahan, right? And he's never got a hair out of, I mean, when he got his new haircut and stuff, and it's kind of like a little bit, just a little bit really, it's just a little bit messy, you know, but it's not messy. It's exactly where he wants it, but it's just right there. I was like, that's not, because my dad, how many of you remember his, I mean, straight across the front lip haircut? That's all I knew all my life. So I was raised by that man. And so it's a whole lot easier for me to stand dignified. Act dignified. I had to lay down to do what God called me to do. To lead worship, I got to lay down dignified. To preach and to deliver what God has for me to preach and deliver, I've got to lay down dignified. Amen? There's some things that you need to lay down. Let me share a couple things with you. Just you can turn if you want to, but I just 1 Corinthians 5:13. That second part there, it says, therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. I know some of you are going, yeah, I get rid of the wicked people. Wicked people don't just mean. Scripturally, wicked people are not just those that are into voodoo and witchcraft and all that kind of stuff. They're people who operate contrary to the Word of God. And the scripture that kept when I was meditating on this is iron sharpens iron. Well, if you're hanging around with someone that's not iron, they're making you dull. And there may be some people in your lives that you're going to have to lay aside in order for you to accomplish. But they've been there all the time for me. I'm not saying. See, sometimes by the fact that we're not laying them aside, I'll use the word. It's It's a clinical word. We enable them to continue doing what they're doing because we accept them how they are instead of saying, hey, look, I've got to lay you aside. You're dulling me. I want to go through this archway of knowing Him, and I can't lug you along with me. Again, I'm not getting into these as deep as I could get into these. These are just things that the Holy Spirit dropped on me when I was studying this. Lay aside the wicked, the one that's holding you back. Lay aside. Can you move where you're going with that? Ephesians chapter 4. These are just a couple things that I saw that I picked up. Hallelujah. I know time's going, but I've only preached once today, so it's just I'm trying my best, folks. Hallelujah. I think if John Paul preached harder and was more demonstrative, he'd wear out quicker. But that dude's the ever-ready battery, man. He's Energizer battery, where he just keeps going. And it's just, I mean, amen. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, it says this, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you." Put away. Throw it away. Throw it down. Throw it away. Don't let it stay on you. Now again, this just the simplicity of what we're talking about. Has somebody wronged you? Has somebody done something against you? Now again, this is the picture that the Holy Spirit is getting, is that we want to go through that archway of knowing Him so we can do exploits, and we're carrying bitterness and unforgiveness and just that feeling of they hurt me, they deserve what I'm giving them, they deserve this, and whether they deserve it or not. Whether you find 100 people that say they deserve you not talking to them, is it worth not doing exploits? Is it worth being kept on that side of that archway? Are you seeing the picture of this? We got to lay down some stuff that has been, we could go lay aside, what is it, Hebrews chapter 12, lay aside those sins and those weights that so easily entangle you. There's little pet things, this would fit in that category, those little pet sins that we have in our lives that we enjoy, that if we're going to walk through that doorway of knowing Him, we can't lug along with us. How about one more here? You guys want me to give you what God showed me, right? 1 Corinthians 16. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Version there, Taylor, so if you want to throw that up there. Verse 2 says, "On the first day of each week, let each one of you personally put aside." So again, if we're thinking in terms of cast it down, we're not holding on to it, we're putting it aside, "something and save it up as he has prospered in proportion to what he has given, so that no collections will be taken after I come." Now again, the point here, on the first day, every week, lay aside some money. The picture I just saw here is that there's some of us, and again, maybe I'm talking to the choir here, but there's some of us that our money is super, super duper close and reliable to us. That is where our trust is. Pastor John Paul, he was talking about it this morning about how important money can be to people, and the Holy Spirit, it says here, it's at the first of the week, cast some money. Throw that money down. Release it from your hands, whether it's your tithe, it should be your tithe, whether it be seed sown, whatever it is, lay it aside. Amen? These are just pictures. I mean, one of them that I did think about in this whole process, and I really didn't know where to put it in here, was Abraham, Genesis 22, where he was willing to give up his son. God said, "I want you to give up your son." And he was, it says in Scripture that he was, that he had already considered his son dead. He had already considered his son dead. He was dead. And literally, when he's like, plunging that knife into his son. Angel of the Lord had to stop him harshly and quickly to stop him doing that because he knew, God knew it was done deal. But the other side of that is, I believe it's Hebrews 11 says that he already received him in the form or received him back to life again. He's like, God's not going to take this. This is my promised son. This is the one I stood for 25 years for. This is the one that he spoke to me was going to be the heir of my stuff. He's not going to take him away from me. If I kill him, I know my God. What? Abraham already had gone through that. He knew him. Which, again, is to say, you know, like Doc was talking about when your kids leave home. And it's one of the things. My dad said it when we went away to college, and I did not understand it until Ryan went away his first year to college, and I just simply said, it's not fair. It is not fair that they get to go away. We plug in 18 years of time and effort and get to know them and get to have that time spent with them. Ryan was really, in many ways, and I don't mean this in any way, was really one of those guys that I enjoyed spending time with more than anybody else. When him and I get that privilege, which we haven't in a couple of years really, to go out on the golf course, which just him and I, it brings me such great pleasure just to sit there, to play golf, to talk with him. It just makes me so happy. And it's not fair that I invested all that time and he goes away, 2 hours away, and somebody else gets to. But you know what? I know he's where he's supposed to be. I know he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. I know God's working in him. I know he's got a passion to come home. And I know my blessing says that my kids will not be far away from home. They'll be with me. So I in essence, I gave him and said, okay, you can go. Allison, you can go. But I know God's not taking my children away from me. He's preparing them for something that's going to be important for me and my ministry. Now again, if you'll take this, if you'll keep all that together, I have got to wrap this up. Goodness gracious, I am in full-fledged 2-hour teaching mode because I haven't preached today, but I'm not going to. What do you value so highly that it steals from God? Because that's what God, if you want to accomplish exploits, you're going to have to go through the archway. Hallelujah. I'm going to, man, there's so much good here, but I'm going to move on. Well, let's read what it say. And he said, cast it on the ground, verse 3, Exodus 4, verse 3, cast it on the ground, and he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled before it. That's wisdom right there, right? And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, became a rod. Now, I don't have a lot of wisdom about snakes because literally I'm fleeing. But I was watching something today and they said, you don't pick up a snake by the tail, because that's a good way to get bit. You pick it up from behind the head so you keep control of its head. And it can, you know, the tail can go flipping around or whatever, but you want control of what's going to bite you. So if you pick it up from the tail, he's going to come right back at you. And so notice what God asked him to do. He's already told him, lay it down. Now in order to pick it up, he said, I want you to do something that a lot of people would say is dumb. I want you to do something that a lot of people will say is ultra, mega risky. I love that. I've left it up there many weeks. That, what is it, if you don't take, it's something like, if you don't take risks, a lot of people will call you wise, but you're not going to move a lot of mountains. It's something on that order. And it just struck me that what God asked him to do was bigger, was something that other people would say was dumb. But if he's going to do exploits, if he was going to know God, he's going to have to go through that archway of doing something risky. Amen. If you're going to If you're going to do exploits, you're going to have to trust God and do and take some risks. All right, let me start wrapping this up because now this is where I want to do. Now again, let's say that if let's look at some the risks of letting a friend or a family member and saying, "Hey, I can't hang with you anymore because I can't carry you through that archway of knowing him." You don't have to tell him like that, but you know, it can be risky. It can hurt. Sowing seed. Again, sowing seed is cheap if you can afford it. And sometimes God says, I need you, if you're going to go through the archway of knowing me, I want you to do something that's going to, stretch you. That's going to put some hair in your chest, or, you know, figuratively speaking, right? But it's going to take a risk. If you're going to move through that and do exploits, you're not going to do it by without taking a risk. I gotta find where I'm at here and do some reading because I've been, all right. God said, God's telling you that he's going to tell you, he's going to call you to do some things that don't make sense. The question is, are you going to do it? He that is willing and obedient will eat the good of the land. Now, what happened when he grabbed the snake by the tail? Now, you know, he knew I don't grab a snake by the tail. You know he knew that, but he reached down without question, grabbed the snake by the tail, and the second he grabbed it by the tail, he got back what was his. He got back what he'd given up. Friends that you lay down, when you go through that archway of knowing him, they can be one of the things meeting you on the other side. Can be one of your exploits. There's harvest on the other side of knowing him, of things, of money that you've cast down. But he got back exactly that which he had thrown down when he took a risk. He gave it up. He obeyed and took a risk. He got back. But see, there was something different. Something had changed. That rod probably looked the exact same. I believe the markings were probably still there. In other words, things like this, things like with me, I love the graphic designs. I love doing that kind of stuff. You know, the simplicity. I found out that for $9.50, I can make those banners that go on the front of the door. It costs about $9 for shipping too. So every several months, I make them for the winter. I got one to put on the front door. You can see it out there, sitting out there. I just think it just adds something really cool, to the front of our, for $9. Well, I can do that kind of stuff because I like that kind, of art. I like that thing. And God, there's been times where he's told me to lay it down. But I've still got that ability. I still got that testimony. I still got that thing that's on me that when I'm told to pick it up, when God gives me an idea, I go put it to work. He picked up that rod again. It became that same rod. But something changed. You ready for this? That rod that once had been used only to protect him, his stuff, now would qualify him to lead millions of people to the promised land, which, again, he didn't get, but it qualified him. Because he cast it down, he obeyed and took the risk, and now is that was with that rod that he held it over the Red Sea and it parted. It was that rod that he struck the rock and water flowed. It was that rod that he held up in his hands above his head to see the victory of the Amalekites. It was that rod. It was that rod that now qualified him to do the exploits that he longed to do 40 some odd years earlier and couldn't step into it in his own power. He tried to go to his right, tried to go to his left, but God said there's only one way to do exploits, and that's through the archway of knowing me. Amen. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. I asked Jessica, I said, I hope this is good tonight. I enjoyed it. Hallelujah. I don't know the last time. I do think I preached over an hour. Because I think I started before Doc did his job and Steve did his job. And I just preached. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't this just something that to me, it's challenging me. It's that I've got a place I got to get into of knowing Him. Because once I get in that place, it's going to be a natural outflow of strength and exploits. But beloved, if there's anything in your life that you have got to lay down, if there's anything in your life that's been your little pet, whether it be your pet sin, whether it be your pet friend, whether it be your pet, if God is asking you, if God's saying, look, I want to take you somewhere, but I can't take you there with that. I need you to lay it down. I need you to lay it to the side. And again, I'm not, if it's sin, yes, sin, definitely had to get rid of. I'm talking about just those things. Maybe it's those feelings towards that person who wronged you. Beloved, I'm telling you, it's like going through that security at the airport. You're going to want to go through, and every time you go through and get ready, I'm ready to do exploits. There's going to be a stoppage. You're going to have to come back, and you're going to have to get rid of that before you go through that archway of knowing Him. You're going to have to take care of it, lay it down, cast it down. There's some of you, and I'll say this, there's some of you that's the way it is with your money. And again, I would say that many of you in this room, it's not, I'm just saying some of you, and the scary part of saying this is that the people that don't have this mentality are the ones who are going to take it to heart and say, I don't want this mentality. But I'm telling you, there's some of you all here that it's with money that you're trying to lug all the things that God has told you to give, and God has told you to sow, and God has told you to cast down. And you're trying to lug it through. And God said, I need you to lay it down, because beloved, you can come lugging through with all that kind of stuff, but you're going to have to come out and put your change. Maybe not just change. You're going to have to lay it down before you can proceed. See, once you've done that, beloved, it's smooth sailing ahead. Heavenly Father, tonight, I know, my goodness, I know. This has been one of the strongest just messages that you've placed in my heart in a long time. I'm humbled by this. And Lord, you know my notes. You gave me a whole lot more than just this, but I'm humbled by the fact that you have given me this insight and this revelation. But you're speaking to us because you did not call this body to just take up space at 905 Clearfield Street. You did not call this body just to give this state, this city, just another tax-exempt church, religious institution. You've called this church to do exploits. You have connected the body of believers that are connected to this church. You have connected them to us because they have been called to do exploits. But Father, we as a body, we as individuals, will never move in to the exploits without going through knowing you. And Lord, I pray that what's happening on these Sunday nights, and again, this may be the last one, I don't know. I didn't intend to go three messages in this. But what I do know is, Lord, let it stir up each and every one of us to know You more, to know You in intimate ways, to learn You, to learn about You, to learn Your system, Your ways, Your knowledge, to understand. If You don't go with me, Lord, if You don't go where I'm going, I don't want to go there, because I can't do it on my own. I must go through knowing You. Nana makonsol andarabakai. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Whew. I hope this hit you like it hit me. Holy Spirit's calling us to deeper and stronger than we've ever been before. Don't take it lightly. Don't leave this place and go, well, that was exciting. Let's go home and get something to eat and get to bed. We got a busy week. We got a lot of stuff to do this week. Beloved, if you want stuff to do, you'll find stuff to do. But if you want exploits, it only goes through knowing Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.